Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, and we have a holiday tradition around here. I guess it's tradition now. We've been doing this podcast for several years, and that's to bring in my friend Skip Rutherford. We'll have Skip today. We'll have him 2 weeks from now. What we do on the first show is we review the year that's coming to an end. Then on the next show, we'll make predictions for 2026. So, Skip, I hope you're ready to roll. Thanks for coming in again.
Rex, thanks for having me. It's always great to be here. Always great to talk about what has happened and what we think will happen.
Absolutely. So, I hope you've had a good 2025.
I've had a great 2025. How about you?
Well, I no complaints whatsoever. No complaints. Had a wedding in the family. My son married a good Batesville girl. Of course, Skip Rutherford hails from Batesville. Still reads the Batesville Guard faithfully.
Hey, listen, I was at that wedding, as you know, and great young couple. You're right. I still read the Batesville Guard, I'm grateful for community journalism.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And we need the support. We need people supporting their local newspapers and their statewide newspapers. It's just crucial to the future. But they have built a new home, and I'll get on subject here in a minute, but I know a lot of our listeners really keep up with development in Little Rock, in the capital city, and they built it in Petaway, and Skip Rutherford, a couple of years ago, is the one who introduced me to what was going on down there. We went down there and had a cup of coffee and walked around one morning, Skip, and never could have dreamed at the time that you introduced me to the amazing things that are going on that Mike Orndorff and others are doing in that neighborhood, that my son would have a new wife and their first home would be in that neighborhood. But it's kind of exciting to see young people building back into the city, infill development, as we call it, in economic development.
Listen, I think what's happening in Petaway, Rex, is a statewide housing story, mm-hmm. maybe a national housing story.
Yeah.
Because what people don't remember, old timers do, when I was on the Little Rock School Board in the late 80s and early 90s, 21st Street Posse was the leading gang banging in Little Rock.
It was
a neighborhood where people were
HBO did Banging in the Rock, it was centered in the Petaway.
That's exactly
area,
right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
When you see the transformation that Mike Ohlendorf, that Adam Fogelman, and that others have done, and seeing young people like your son and daughter-in-law moving back, it's really amazing, and it's neat in the fact that they're not, it's gentrification, mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. gentrification.
Right, they're not chasing out all of the
That's
residents.
That's exactly right. And people ought to go to Petaway. They ought to see it. They ought to see Petaway Square. They ought to see the development. They ought to see the homes. It's a neighborhood that, again, I think it's a national model.
Yeah, you know, you and I both want to see Little Rock grow, but it makes so much sense rather than continuing to sprawl west. We're not going to be able to sprawl west much further because you're going to hit the Washita National Forest is what's going to happen. So continuing to sprawl west, what do we do instead? Well, again, back to infill development, Skip, and I know you have preached this going back to your school board days and others, but it makes so much more sense because the streets are already built. The water lines are already there. The sewer lines are already there. And you're coming back. We've got still thousands of empty lots in this city that are ripe for development.
You're exactly right. And again, I think Petaway shows that it can be done. What we have to do, Rex, is, and having been a school board member, I say this with respect to the city board and planning commission, we have to make it opportunistic for people to take these vacant lots and restore these homes without zoning them to death, without mm-hmm. regulating
exactly.
them to death. We've got it. There needs to be maybe a different pattern in areas of infill than there are, you know, in Chenal or in the Heights or in places like that where the affluent live. What I love to see about Petaway is the mixed use, a coffee shop.
A bookstore, even. Yeah.
I mean, it is unthinkable.
A craft brewery.
Yeah. When I was on the school board, to think that something like that could happen, it's just amazing. But cities need to not be, they need to be partners in this. And yes, maybe there needs to be very different zoning and parking and other things, because that's the way we're going to rebuild the city, mm-hmm. is from the inside out, not by sprawl.
Absolutely. It's going to be from the inside out. And not just the empty lots, not just individual homes, but one of the exciting things you have seen down there is that a developer out of Georgia, of all places, took the old Veterans Administration Hospital, which had sat there for years, Skip, like a ghost. I didn't think anything would ever go in there, and turned it into really nice apartments, and may now do the same with the AT&T building on Capitol Avenue, which would revitalize that part of East Capitol if he does so.
That's exactly right. And what that, I couldn't agree more. Obviously, I think we have to take a look at, like the old Veterans Hospital, like the AT&T building, mm-hmm. we have to take a look at how we can revitalize and restore. We've got a lot of work to do in downtown Little Rock, mm-hmm. about revitalization. But we now have some examples and some leadership that's leading that effort. So I'm encouraged.
Yeah. I'll stick to Little Rock in our year-end review, and then I'll move it to some broader statewide issues in some other parts of the state. But let's stick to Little Rock. Some bad news just recently, as we neared the end of the year, and that Amazon said that its massive facility in the port of Little Rock had actually been constructed incorrectly and literally laid thousands of people off. Now, I don't have any, and Amazon hasn't been real open about exactly what the problems are, how long it's going to take. But, Skip, I guess the one bright ray there is I don't have any indication that they're not going to make the structural changes that are needed on that building. I don't have any indication they're going to abandon that site. It's been a good site. It's been a good workforce for them. We just don't know how long it's going to take before they hire those thousands of people back.
Yeah, and it's a real blow.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about it. That is a real blow. For the first time, Rex, and again, I don't want to generalize here, but the luster is kind of off the port. And you and I have had many of these conversations about the port, and there's a lot of good things going on the port.
Oh, there really are.
But when you take this big employer and you say, we didn't build the building right, I think there's more, needs to be more explaining here.
I hope we get more answers.
I hope we get more,
being done.
Answers, but it's concerning, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. if those jobs don't come back, that's a serious blow.
Yeah. But again, what it has led to, and we did continue to see a string of good announcements, is really putting Little Rock in Central Arkansas on the map as a distribution hub and a manufacturing hub. And so we continue, Skip, to see a lot of good announcements in that realm, as people like Brian Day, Jay Chesser, Jack Thomas, that crew. I mean, I think you and I both agree, we've got a wonderful economic development team working together between the port, the Little Rock Chamber, the city of Little Rock right now.
I agree with that. I think that's right. I think my only concern is that this Amazon thing, was it just a building? I mean, really?
Yeah.
I think it's concerning. Now, do I believe in a great economic team? You bet. I think Brian Day's done a spectacular job. Jay's done a good job. Jack's done a good job. There's no doubt that we have enormous mm-hmm. talent. But I hope we get more answers.
Yeah, me too. We do need more answers. We tape this, of course, in downtown Little Rock. We talk about downtown Little Rock a lot. 2025 was a year that we saw right down the street from where we're taping here in the Democrat Gazette building at the corner of Capitol and Scott. A block away, the $35 million Boyle Building renovation open. It's spectacular. 2026, Jennifer Mond will be opening what I think will truly be a world-class restaurant on the first floor of that building. We look down the street here, Central Arkansas Water Skip, I'm sure you saw as you walked in this morning, is going forward with its almost $20 million development of that building. Hopefully more of those projects are coming. I know the fundraising continues for the Clinton Center expansion, but downtown seems to be on a bit of a roll right now with these projects.
It seems to be stabilized, Rex. I think it went from the glory days of the Clinton Library and the post-construction, the work that Rhett and Jimmy did with condominiums and apartments. We saw retail. We saw the River Market coming back, a lot of activity. But we then went through COVID. We went through a convention decline. The River Market itself, the market, is in disrepair. And now
and I think, there is a plan going forward. We'll probably talk about that on the 2026
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I think that's right. But so I think it may be I think maybe stabilized. I don't want to be too euphoric, because you know, you had crews, 325 people leave downtown to go out west. They're still in Little Rock. Not mm-hmm. wrong that. There's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that. But I'm glad for them. A great company. But I think we have to. I'm cautiously optimistic. But we still got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I guess the good thing is there are good people going to work. And I mentioned the River Market. I mean, there is a plan. There's still work to do on it to get it finalized. But in essence, what you have is the city of Little Rock would put in $10 million, the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau would put in $10 million, and then a private company out of St. Louis that is operated what apparently is a highly successful food hall in St. Louis would put in $5 million and operate that. And if done correctly, Skip, I do think that could be a game changer for the whole River Market District, and we would quickly see those vacancies that we see down there now fill up if that project's done correctly.
You're exactly right. And two things, when you think back to how it all got started and the what I call the glory days of the Clinton Library opening and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that happened. Number one, Bobby Roberts made the great decision to move the library, public library,
exactly,
to the old Phones Brothers Hardware building and made an investment. And Jimmy and Rhett made the concentrated effort to do the River Market, market. So
build a whole new neighborhood around the library.
So when you look back, history repeating itself, Nate Coulter has taken that library.
Should have mentioned that on the 25 projects, $32 million.
One of the best projects, and he is the Bobby Roberts of the new generation of revitalizing, mm-hmm. and now we're seeing the River Market again itself. So the two main cogs, library, River Market, are being revitalized.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Let's go statewide. We may come back to Little Rock, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of time. Let's go statewide on 2025. We had a regular session of the Arkansas legislature, and Skip, I'm usually the glass half full guy, as you know, but I've got a column coming up. I really think one of the great, I don't want to say untold because we've covered the pieces, but I don't know that anybody in the media has really come out and just said what I think is happening, and that is Arkansas state government is headed off a fiscal cliff. We've got these massive federal cuts, and you know that, for instance, rural hospitals trying to stay open are going to be looking to state government. We've got the voucher scheme now costing hundreds of millions of dollars. That's only going to grow. And for some reason, against all evidence that it's not a good site, the governor still seems dead set on building a $1 billion, and I think the price will end up going higher than that if they do it, prison. So hundreds of millions for vouchers, $1 billion for a prison, federal cuts that people are going to be looking for the state to fill. Where's the money going to come from?
Well, you know, one of the things Asa Hutchinson did was he left a surplus when he left. Mm-hmm. So give Governor Hutchinson credit for that. I think when you've outlined areas where obviously I think there are really serious concerns, and we have short term where you have tax collections up and it kind of looks rosy on the short term, but when you dig deep and you talk to the budget experts,
yep,
who really know it,
yep,
they will tell you there are signs that are very concerning. In addition, you're right, we're, in addition to the things that you raised, particularly school vouchers, which is a whole different subject, but
yeah,
you know, we led the nation in farm bankruptcies,
mm-hmm,
in 2025.
Yeah,
our agriculture industry is really suffering. We've got maybe 25 to 40% of the farmers who, at the end of this year, 2020, may not come back.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And now, I think that's
add to that, Skip. And again, I'm going to be writing about these subjects. I wanted to get through the holidays before I depressed everybody with the subject. But you add to that the farm crisis, the fact that we're maybe going to lose half or more of our rural hospitals, and then the voucher thing, and I call it the voucher scheme because I think it is. I mean, we're subsidizing people who were already sending their kids to private schools and able to do it out of their own pockets.
88%.
Yeah, absolutely. 88% already, and we're subsidizing those people. That is draining our public schools. So rural Arkansas, farm bankruptcies, your hospitals are closing, and your school district may be closing and consolidating.
Well, and
it ain't rosy in rural Arkansas,
no,
let me tell you.
And I would think—
And our legislature doesn't seem to care. Our governor doesn't seem to care.
Well, I think some do, and I think there are some people out there that really do care and really are trying to make a difference. I do think this, on top of all the things that you've laid out there, which are concerning, we're also, you're talking about rural healthcare, rural hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
If Congress doesn't extend the Affordable Care Act premiums, mm-hmm, tax premiums, you're going to have 166,000 Arkansans at the end of 2025 having their health care bills double or quadruple, which means they're going to go to emergency rooms for health care, which means it's going to really impact rural hospitals and urban hospitals. But then you've got this hunger crisis. You've got these cuts that are coming in SNAP. You've got, so you're going to have, you know, the key word is, the buzzword is affordability. But Rex, we're not only in a macro financial situation, we're in a micro.
Mm-hmm.
Everyday Arkansans. Now, people are still shopping. People are still traveling. And quite frankly, the affluent are doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we got to be serious about what we could be facing.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2025 in review, which is what we are doing. We have now moved up our primaries so early now, and it means the filing periods in the previous year. We've already had our filing period. Let's be honest, Skip. What that is basically is an incumbent protection move, in that you have that early when nobody's paying attention. The filing period is so early now, nobody's thinking about elections next year. And indeed, that's kind of what we saw. We saw, for instance, most of the statewide offices go unopposed now. And I, you know, just I just don't think that's healthy for Arkansas not to have competition.
Well, we've gone from a one-party Democratic state to a one-party Republican.
Absolutely. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, Skip, I became, and you know this, I became active as a young man. That's been a while now since I was a young man, but in Republican politics, clearly because I believe firmly that this state badly needed two-party competition.
That's where I got my start.
If I were in my 20s now, I might be down there beating on the door of the Arkansas Democratic Party or the Libertarian Party or somebody we got to have some competition in our state.
When I was a teenager, I was involved in the Young Arkansans for Rockefeller.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think a two-party system is good for the state. I think competition is good. I think the exchange of ideas. Unfortunately, we're in a situation now where the ideas are exchanged within one particular party, as it used to be in the all-Democratic thing. It's just who's more conservative than the other candidate. And you're seeing that, and you will see that in some 2026 primaries, which I guess as we look and have our next segment, our future segment on 2026, we can talk about those. But when you look back on 2025 in the legislature, I think you've got the thing that was most discouraging for me is the way we've put up barriers for people to organize initiated acts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're taking the people out of democracy.
You really are.
And I think part of that is due to the fact that some of the people were afraid the people might vote differently than mm-hmm. legislation passed. But, mm-hmm. you know, this state has always had a progressive element to it.
I mean,
even in a one-party state, it supported increasing the minimum wage. It supported...
Well, we opened up casinos. We did
medical marijuana.
Yeah. I was going to say the voters did that.
And so sometimes when you take the voters out of the process, I think that's one of the more concerning things that happened in 2025. Now, mm-hmm. let me tell you what I think was good that happened in 2025. And I give the politicians who speak out on it, Arkansas and Arkansas State play football.
Yeah, yeah. And that was very good. And you know where I stand on that?
Me too.
I think it needs to happen every year. And yes, I know the University of Arkansas won't make as much money, but there's more to a university system than football. It's a land-grant institution. They have a responsibility to all 75 counties. And you know how I feel, Skip. If we did that every Labor Day weekend and built an entire festival around Arkansas, it would help unify our state in a way when we are so there's so much disunity in the state. It would help unify Arkansas. I mean, we celebrate Arkansas literature, Arkansas food, Arkansas music, Arkansas wine, you name it. But I'll go back to that. Of course, the weather was beautiful. The game wasn't that good, but who cared? That, I think, was Arkansas's finest day in 2025. It was a wonderful day to be in War Memorial Park.
It was, and I give the governor credit for coming out there in support of that game. I appreciate her leadership on that. I think she's right. She's looking at all of Arkansas. And hopefully that will occur, whether it's every year, who knows. There'll be a lot of barriers our friends in Fayetteville will put up.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just remind everybody that regardless of the score of that game, Arkansas has one Division I team going to a bowl this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Yep.
And they are Arkansas's team in the postseason bowl.
When it comes to the bowl season, you're exactly right.
That's exactly right. So I think it's encouraging. Plus, I think it's encouraging that these Arkansas kids – who maybe playing at Arkansas State and those playing at the University of Arkansas get a chance to play. I think it's a good thing. I've been advocating it for years. I hope it continues, and I hope the governor, to her credit, continues to, in the words of Chad Morris, put the pedal to the metal.
Well, while we're talking about it, Skip, while we're talking about things in Arkansas and things that are unique to our state, There was a massive effort, as you know, to get ESPN Game Day to Arkadelphia for the Battle of the Ravine. We did not succeed in that, but they did a segment on the Battle of the Ravine, and all of the publicity around that had more than 10,000 people, which equaled the population of Arkadelphia, in the stadium that day. And so I guess I have to put that day up there along with the Arkansas ASU game as a great day for Arkansas, because that's one of those things that's just totally unique to our state and should be on every Arkansan's bucket list.
Well, there are, you're right. And again, in our world, where a lot of the sports traditions, i.e. Thanksgiving Day football games like Baseball in Newport and Hall and Central and those kinds of things have gone away, things like the Battle of the Ravine still, you know, make a difference. I think about, you know, you and I both grew up with the Arkansas Intercollegiate Conference basketball.
Yep.
I noticed this weekend that former Arkansas College great, my longtime friend Jim Haney, was elected to the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. And I think this is a kid who grew up in a small town in Arkansas and went to a small college that was just grassroots basketball with little or no budget, is now in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. I think these traditions that Henderson and Ouachita have, the other day someone, I was walking in the neighborhood and someone said to me, I'm a relative of Don Dyer. And I said, Henderson. Mm-hmm. And she said, you're right.
Yeah,
And those kinds of traditions to me are really important.
Yeah, they really are. As we look back on 2025, while we're here, one of the things I'm thankful for is both at our state institutions and our private institutions of higher education, and Skip has long been involved in higher education on the Lyon College Board, other things. I spent 5 years full-time involved in higher education as head of the Association of All the Private Colleges and Universities. But we really appear to me, I think, to have strong leadership, like I said, at our state and private universities both. And I think that's one of the good things I can say about 2025. You know, the breath of fresh air that Chancellor Robinson has been at the University of Arkansas, our friend Todd Shields doing amazing things in Jonesboro right now, my childhood friend Trey Berry bringing Henderson back from the dead. And, I mean, it was almost about to close the door. And it is thriving under Trey. I could go on and on. But I think that's one of the good things we can say about 2025. We've got some great leaders. Houston Davis at UCI, I'm going to leave people out. But there are a lot of people in higher ed right now in Arkansas that I'm big fans of.
Well, I think you're right, Rex. And let me say that one of the things that I'm proud about higher ed that happened in 2025 is that we opened a dental school.
Yep. And Lyon College, speaking of your connection there.
Yeah, there are admissions are underway for the second class, and the last number I heard is that we had over 1,800 applicants for 80 spots.
That's outstanding, yeah.
That's a really positive development. In the next 3 years, we'll have 240 dental students in Little Rock. And that will continue, that school will grow, but there will at least be a minimum of 240 students, which should change the trajectory of public health in Arkansas.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely will.
But I'm
change.
Really proud of that, and I think we should be proud of a dental school. When you talk about 2025 and we talk about concerns, that's a crown jewel of 2025.
Yeah, and we've only got so much time, and I'm going to leave things out, but as we tape this, speaking of institutions of higher education, just this week as we tape, the Wingate Foundation announced a $10 million gift to Hendricks College. As you know, my oldest son's a Hendricks grad, so I've got a Hendricks grad, but another of those jewels of Arkansas. And
good for Hendricks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good for him, and thank you to the Wingate Foundation, but good for Hendricks.
And then recently, in Hendricks line, both schools I used to represent, I also represented our private HBCUs, and we saw a $19 million gift to Philander Smith University here in Little Rock.
Just huge.
Again, to use that term, a game changer for Philander Smith.
And I'm so glad.
Me too.
That is, if you talk about a benefit.
Mackenzie Scott, that national gift.
And Philander Smith in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So good things going on in higher education. In public education, though, and we'll close with this, and I hate to close on a downer, but again, I don't think the voucher thing is sustainable financially for this state, Skip. It really, really concerns me what it's going to do to our, especially our rural school districts out there, as we continue to drain them of state support in order to offer these subsidies to people.
You know, Rex, when I was on the Little Rock School Board, I often said to parents, the choice where you send your children to school is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make that choice. I'm not your child's parents. So whether it's public or private or homeschool or whatever the cause, that's fine. And I still believe that. What I don't believe in is taking taxpayer dollars for school vouchers and subsidizing 88% of the people who are already in private schools who'd already made that call.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing all over the state that you're not seeing these kids moving from poor districts. You're not seeing this. You're seeing the affluent get a tax break.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And again, the situation – I mean, one of the things the governor did was, said these students have to spend, 75 hours of public service work or whatever that is. That's for public school students.
Yeah.
Private school students, there's no similar requirement.
No,
they got state. They got state money.
Yeah.
But no similar requirement.
Yeah.
And you look at how some of the voucher dollars have been spent on some of these. So, again,
by the way, to promote our paper, we've got one of our best reporters, Josh Snyder, that's now on that beat full time, and he's doing a great job.
And he's a Clinton School graduate.
There you go, of uncovering.
And was my student,
stuff.
And there. I'm proud
you
of
you.
Did
it. A great job.
Thank you. He's a good guy.
But he will keep up with that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
he's a bird dog. There's no doubt about it. But and I'm glad we're reporting on that. But again, I'm not knocking the fact that people. I'm not knocking private schools.
I've written this. As you know, my oldest son was a graduate of Little Rock Catholic. My youngest son was a graduate of what's now Baptist Prep. They went pre-K through 8 to Holy Souls. Their whole time was in the private schools. Melissa and I decided that was best for our boys. We happily paid 100% of that, cut back in other areas. I happily paid my property taxes for public schools because I'm a product of the public schools and think I got a good education in the public schools. I never expected, never wanted a government subsidy.
Well, and again, I think, it's just not good public policy.
Mm-mm. Not at all. And I think we'll come back for some predictions on that when we do our next show in a couple of weeks because, again, I think Arkansas, this and other things, state government is headed off the fiscal cliff and nobody seems to be paying attention.
You know, one other thing that happened in 2025, Rex, is that we had 60 tornadoes in Arkansas.
Wow.
We had a major damage. And FEMA cut back on its funds. A lot of small towns. I give a lot of credit. If you one of our people we really like is the talented young mayor of Cave City.
Oh,
Jonas Anderson,
who I think one of our best mayors.
I think he's got a great statewide political future too.
Yep.
By the way,
yep.
But what he's done in trying to rebuild that community without a lot of federal assistance, pretty amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Skip, we're out of time on this show, but we'll have you back in a couple of weeks. We're going to make all of those predictions for 2026.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.